I have second thoughts about what I wanted to say. Might have to rewrite what I was going to talk about because of all the things that I've heard since I've been here. I've listened very carefully to what you've been saying and about your misapprehensions about what should be or what is. And I want you to know something that's taking place in this country, especially in agriculture. It's a whole new game now. It's about change. And all of you are going to have to change if you're fooling with foodstuffs, and the growing of foods and vegetables in the South. You've got what they call an agricultural coalition that's harvested all of your food production. So if they get your food, like they've got our gas, we'll really be in bad shape, won't we? So I'm going to ask you to be recruiters of young people, women and children, to bring them back over to producing the foods and the foodstuffs that we eat here in the South. You hear a lot of people now talking about Southern foods. Last week or week before last in New Orleans, they were discussing catfish. And as nobody can grow any catfish like it grow here in Mississippi. But they're bringing catfish out of Vietnam and some of these other places. It doesn't taste like our catfish. They're bringing in crawfish from Spain and from the Far East. Doesn't taste like our crawfish. They're bringing all their prepackaged vegetables out of South America, Europe, Asia. And 20 or 25 years of that, you won't even know what it tastes like here in the South, our food that's grown here. So I'm asking you to recruit our young people to break down the doors of our agriculture departments and all of our state universities and to give us a break like they give the football players. The football players can come in the door with a 2-point average. But if Lawless and I want to go into agriculture, we got to have a 3.5. That's not fair. It's not fair. So we want you to attack all those avenues that are out there that are blocking us to keep us from doing what we ought to do for agriculture. You see, now what could we do about this? I'm going to show you a tape at the conclusion of my speech, and I want you to look at it. And this is where we're trying to go. We have in New Orleans our Crescent City Farmers Market. We opened my third market yesterday. The one in Baton Rouge has now grown to 3 markets. We got one in Covington, one in Slidell, and we're trying to open one in Hammond, Louisiana. But the problem that we run into there in Hammond is the fact that we've got one longtime produce salesperson who can buy foodstuffs by the truckloads and bring it to the area and sell cheaper than the locally grown stuffs. And we need to bring the women and children into these low-income areas, into agriculture, so they can make a decent living. You say, well, how can they make a decent living? They got to learn to be volunteers. They got to work along with other folk to learn how to farm. I live in an area in Independence where we had roughly about 25 or 30 people that used to work for a large corporation that went out of business. They had 3,000 acres across the highway from me. So when they went out of business, there's 25 people who were sitting there with nothing to do. And I would grow greens and beans and peas, and they'd come by, well, give me a mess. I said, well, okay, I'll give you a mess, provided you do something for me, tit for tat. I'm going to plow up your garden, I'm going to give you seeds, and I'm going to give you fertilizer. And I'm going to show you how to plant it and how to harvest it. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then you don't want my peas or beans or greens. If you show them how to do it, they'll feed themselves the rest of their life. But if you keep giving, they won't do anything. They'll sit there and beg you for every day, every day. So what I did was I got them involved in farming in the area. And then I would buy back on consignment. I would take their vegetables and I'd bring them to the market and sell them for them. They couldn't understand the system. Here they're looking for $40 or $50. They didn't understand the entrepreneurship of growing by volunteering. And inside of about 6 weeks, those persons who were looking for $30 were making $120. Because we grouped together all this produce that was being harvested, and then we'd sell to restaurants, to the market, or to produce dealers if they wanted to pay a fair price. Because the main problem with agriculture, especially the fall farmers, is the fact that they don't want to pay you a fair price for your product. So we grouped together and we got them at the market. Then we had the increased production because of the quality of the product that we were producing far exceeded that they would find at a supermarket. Then we had a group who decided that they didn't want to produce a quality product. They just want to bunch some greens together with bad leaves, holes in the leaves, and everything else. And we kept telling them, well, we're going to take it to the market, but it won't sell. When we got to the market, the customer determined the quality of the product, and they sent the product back. They wouldn't purchase it. But I want to invite you to become philanthropists and humanitarian. All the people who used to do this kind of thing, they're dead now, gone. So now we've got to be philanthropists. We've got to be humanitarians. And how do we do that? We call it in the trade union movement, buttonholing or pigeonholing all those congressmen and representatives on the state level and on the federal level and tell them what you want and what you need. You know, we have a habit after we elect them, we are so elated over this congressman or this senator, oh, I know him personally, but what is he doing for you? You're paying his salary, you guarantee him a job for what, 6, 8, or 12 years? And you back here starving to death. Or the women and children are starving to death. So you have a right to demand from him what you want to need. I know we did it in the trade union movement. If we wanted legislation, we buttonholed every congressman and senator in this country and simultaneously told them what we wanted and what we needed. And you can do the same thing here. Agriculture touches every facet of your life, whether you want to believe it or not. One out of every five jobs in this country goes to agriculture, but they ought to have at least two or three jobs in that area. Some of the things that you need to do to offset the shortages that we're beginning to see in the market. If you go look for fresh butter beans, can you find them? Okra? Snap beans? Collard greens? My favorite. Mustard greens? Cabbage? Can't find them. But here is a niche that the women and children can fill, because with Alcorn State and with Southern University in Louisiana, they're beginning to organize women and children in farming and showing them that the stereotypes that they have about farming can now be a very productive hobby or profession. Like I mentioned earlier, that here's a person who has probably $50 a week to live off. And collectively, between she and her children, they can start bringing in like $300, maybe $400, maybe $500. A month, which offset that income that they don't have. As one young lady in Roberts, Louisiana, right outside of Hammer, she has so organized her effort until Heather comes to the market when strawberries are in or vegetables are in,
And Heather leaves the market on Saturdays with about $1,500, $1,800, or $2,000 in one day. And we need to change our idea about professions and start focusing on how productive it can be, how economic it can be, and recruit more people to do it. We've got other people who found little niches, like one man who had salad greens, mixed salad greens. His name is Randy Thibodeau. He lives in Thibodeau, Louisiana. Randy can't produce enough salad greens. Now we have another guy coming in with hydroponic salad greens. He can't keep enough. We've got one man that comes all the way. He's with Dr. Vendella. He's with Southern University in New Orleans. He drives from Baton Rouge to New Orleans to sell salad greens. And they're running around about $6 a pound. But yet we'd rather fry, what, something from Italy, something from Germany, something from Colombia, Peru. And I went to a food symposium at the International Trade Mart and over at the Ernst & Morrell Convention Center. And here was a 5-block-long convention hall full of food vendors from all over the world. Not one piece of meat in the house, promoting all kinds of prepackaged foods that we buy at the supermarket. Now, there's one other thing that you have to take in consideration. If I feed you pork or beef for 25 years, that's all you know. Soon you forget about lamb and chicken. And they're playing on the time limit. They're not concerned about whether you like it or not. So long as they can control that market for a certain length of time, and then you will forget about it. So look, if you look at now how the beans and the cucumbers and the squash and all of that's disappeared from the market, after a while you'd have to buy their prepackaged foods, because all of our farmers have died out. But we recruit our young people, we got to get them interested in all the various programs that are out there for them. We've organized now what they call Greater New Orleans Coalition. It takes in all of Southeast Louisiana. We're going to have our first awareness program, agriculture awareness program, this month coming up. Like it's on the 10th of November. And we're corralling all of the various young people in all of these schools that have alternative programs in them to create and design different kinds of presentations for this coalition. Then all the other students of schools are bused into this area. We're going to Delgado Community College. We've got the Greater New Orleans Foundation in this area. That comes on the United Way. And they're giving scholarships and grants to Bayou Boys and Bayou Girls State in Baton Rouge at Southern University. Then LSU is involved. And they are having programs that are set up all over the state to recruit our young people, because we've found now that we've got to do it. We've got to recruit the women and the children. We've got to recruit men as well. But there's one other area that I want to touch on here that I think that you ought to look at very carefully. And I've noticed the program said black farmers. We need to recruit white and black farmers. This is not a black thing or a white thing. It's an American thing. And you're going to have to start, like all the language I've been hearing for the last 2 or 3 weeks, about we got to pull together. We can pull together. We can work together in this country to produce what we need, because we have become so complacent and apathetic until we have forgotten all about the purpose for which we're here, and that's producing, working, and living together. And you can do it. And I'd like to ask you to consider one another and to work together one another. I want to show you a film now of what we have done as a result of pulling together in New Orleans. We could do the same thing for agriculture, learning to work together for the common good of the community. And we'd like to ask you to please volunteer to become a philanthropist or humanitarian, and let's help our young people to get into an active role in the community and stop holding a position or a title for 30 or 40 years without training someone else to come along and take your place. Because this is what has happened to farmers. This is what has happened to our scientists. Like right now, we've got a turmoil. If we had more young people involved in research at our institutions, we wouldn't have the problem right now trying to find what that we need to have to destroy the Amtrak germ. And there's so many other germs out there that we need our young people involved in. We've got to learn how to respect the position and title of other people and consider them as a part of the total program of this community. Because without the cooks, we wouldn't make it. Without the farmers, we wouldn't have anything to eat. Without the mechanics, we couldn't fix our cars. Our cars wouldn't keep running. Without the bus drivers, we wouldn't have any way of getting around in the city or from city to city. See? Without the pilots, we wouldn't have anybody to fly the planes. So we might know a lot about one thing, but we don't know a lot about all things. And this is what we're trying to get you to realize and to understand. One question came up not long ago, I think with our last speaker, about organic foods. Organic foods that are washed clean and packaged are the thing of the future and as of right now. You can demand a fair price for it. It sells very fast. And most customers will ask you now when they come into the market, is this organic? Did you use pesticides? Did you use herbicides? Where was it grown? What kind of soil was it grown in? Did you get a soil test? These are the things that they're asking. The co-op's take of the market share has grown from about $50 now to about $600 a month, which is an increase. But you had to get them to realize that we can work together to make this money, and in a voucher system, we can distribute it equally among us rather than look for $20 an hour. Because you can make what you want with organic foods. It depends on the amount of supply that you bring to the market. Genetically engineered foods, if you're going to fool with organic, they would advise you not to fool with genetic or engineered foods. On fresh vegetables, there is a shortage. I know one lady who grows greens and beans by herself. She's about 76 years old. And she receives about $300 a week. There's another man that has about 25 chickens. They're asking for yard eggs. These are little niches that you wouldn't think very much of doing, but other people are making a living at it. There's a guy next to me, he sells quail eggs and quail. And Guinness. Well, you wouldn't think of doing it, but he's doing all right with it. There's one other person there, she brings a rooster in a cage. And on Saturdays, all the kids are gathering around because she's selling eggs. She sells roughly around about 60 dozen eggs at $2.50 a dozen. The little niches that people embrace when they come to these markets, you can encourage people to do it in your area instead of buying something that comes from Europe or Asia or Africa or South America. You even had people in here selling foods from Korea, Vietnam. And you know who sponsored it? The government. They'll pay you to go overseas and farm or set up a business to ship back here for you and me just to buy. And it's no less other than government welfare for someone else in some other country to encroach on our ground. So there are a lot of little energies in there that shouldn't be. And we need to encourage our young people and our women and our children. Alcorn and Southern, I know, have programs for women and children in agriculture. And don't frown on agriculture. That's some nice jobs in the agriculture department. Some very lucrative jobs in the agriculture department. But when they die, nobody's replacing them. Those jobs are going to go to somebody else who they'll import in here to take those jobs for. And they will not recruit you or me or their own people. And they acquire tenure of 10 years, and then you can't get rid of them. They need to wear what they want them. So why can't our children have those jobs? Why can't our women and children have those jobs? And you can recruit for men to come in here too. But you can make a living now at agriculture. Okay, I'm open for questions. Mm-hmm. We're using the email. We call the Crescent City Farmers Markets office. It's under the Regional Initiative and Economic Institute. And then they put on the internet what you have, or what kind of produce you have, or what kind of salad greens, or what kind of herbs that you have. Or if you have an abundance of produce, it's put on the internet, and then people will come in and ask for that particular one. As an article in our Times-Picayune, which is our newspaper, that reports the day before the market is open, what's available at the market. And then we have spot announcements on most of your public access stations telling what's at the market and where we are that particular day.
One of the things, Carol, that do chefs specifically come shop at the market too?
Yes, we have chefs that come to the market. They come and buy produce. In fact, I sell to some of them. And I wanted to tell these students that are here, find you a little French fry machine and a julian, or what you call a viola, and start stripping and packing carrots and the long white radish, the long red radish. Julian stripped them and put them in a bag and label them. Your restaurants will come in and buy that because it's saving them time. See, this is some of the niches that women and children could do. You're saving him time. If he's the chef and he wants carrots, he wants radish, he wants sweet potatoes that are already cut, they'll prepare it for you. And then they put it on the internet, and then the chefs find it's on the internet, they come there and they shop. We've got several of them that come in and buy in the mornings. The Bagal group is a group of farmers and women. We're stick about the women. We got to have the women in there. And they used to work for the co-op that I talked about earlier, for those cooperative farmers over there. They had the 3,000 acres. Because, see, they had 3,000 acres of eggplants, cucumbers, squash. And they drowned the market out. Then they sold to all of Louisiana and Mississippi to supply the foods to the food markets. But the problem with that is that they got caught in the bin also. It might cost them $5 a hamper to produce that. And they wanted to give him $3 for it. See, that's the plight of the small farmer. And so when they went out of business because of poor prices, you had all these people who were there were unemployed. There was about 25 of them. So I set up the Bagal Farmers Cooperative to get machinery and equipment to plow up all these gardens that were sitting there. Here, people sitting up on 30, 40, 50 acres of ground, no equipment to work it with because that was what their grandparents and their parents did. And so we plowed it up. I paid the man to plow it up, bought them fertilizer, bought them seed. Then we take it and we group it and we prorate the cost. And then we issue vouchers according to what they had grown. This is where the Grey Gall group came in. And as a result now, I think we got about 25 people that are fooling around with the Grey Gall group who were not employed, who had been displaced by the other groups. Well, the tractor came about as a result. I mentioned it before, but that was the Greater New Orleans Foundation. That was a need for a tractor and some equipment in the area. And by making contact with the Greater New Orleans Foundation, it was a long, drawn-out process. It took us about 2.5 years to get it. But in the meantime, we were renting other tractors. But the tractor came in very handy, so as a result, this year has been a more profitable year because we have been able to plow more ground, plant more seeds, and to get more people involved. And we have just gotten a share grant, and they're going to set up a project on my place. And then we're going to run all the other young people through there to let them see what it looks like to have what you call successive planting on a place. Instead of planting, say, 20 acres of peas, the new program says that I'll plant 1 acre of peas. But I'll plant 1 acre of peas every 2 weeks. Now, why would I do that? I extend the harvest over the summer, and they make more money as a result. Then they have another new program that's coming in, and I hope you would embrace this one as well, and that is with sweet potatoes. I know you can grow sweet potatoes in the South. We've got groups of young people now beginning to plant sweet potatoes. It brings them roughly about $6,000, but they can only keep 10% of it. The other 90% goes into a trust fund for scholarships. They're doing the same thing now with pumpkins in Picayune, Mississippi. We've got a group of children over, I think it's 6 of them. They got the idea of growing pumpkins, and they're selling them at the farmer's market. And they can only take 10%. The rest goes in the scholarship fund for them. So by getting the children involved, by getting the women involved, and by getting the Grey Gall involved, we have enhanced the knowledge and the thinking and the productivity and the economics of the area because of grouping people together, exposing them to various programs and various ideas about surviving in the South.